Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen today. Ray is in for producer Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, February 24th, 2014. We are live here 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and we also make it very easy for you to hear the program at your desk at work or wherever you have a computer by going on buckmastershow.com or the station's newly revamped website, kvoi.com, and of course, the exclusive place for our podcast, buckmastershow.com. We have archives of every show we've ever done over the 3 years and 2 months that we have been involved with this project. We begin every Monday afternoon with a political face-off. Commentators today, Jeff Rogers is here and Bruce Ash. Then we'll have our monthly blogger beat with Tucson Weekly's David Safir. And, of course, the Monday political face-off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and, of course, they are on Facebook. Bruce Ash is with us. Bruce is now in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Jeff Rogers is a Tucson attorney and former two-term chair of the Democrat Party in Pima County. Jeff, I saw on Facebook you were out with the horses over the weekend.
I am always out with my horse every weekend.
And horse looks good and
she's
fit.
She's a very fit mare and got a lot of racing quarter horse in her.
She has a lot of energy. Get up and go.
That's right.
And Bruce, I know you weren't on. You're not into the horses, at least from what I know.
I mean, love horses. Yeah. This past week was rodeo week, and you know, it was great. They had a record crowd at the rodeo, and actually, I don't know if anybody caught the Accenture match play yesterday, but you know, that was one of the most exciting finishes ever. And sure hope that golf will return to Tucson. This has been quite a venue for I think at least 60 years for the Tucson Open, and hope it's back.
Yeah, and Greg Hansen, Jeff, was writing today in the Star that pro golf in some form, I think he was handicapping it at about 80, somehow we're going to have some kind of pro golf here.
Well, I sure hope so. About
80% chance.
I mean, not only is it fun for the fans and fun for the residents here, but, you know, it's a real economic contributor. And you add it to the gym show and the rodeo, and it makes February just a blockbuster month.
I wish they could spread it out a little bit. You know,
yeah, I know everything
like when
at
we
once.
Had spring baseball, you know, at least it was like from the 1st of February all the way through to the end of March. You
Absolutely.
Know, kind of need to spread out those restaurant days and hotel days. And, hey, I got to put in word for the Cats. They kick some serious buff rear end on Saturday.
Colorado night. Buffaloes.
Just unbelievable
kick
game.
Kick some buff.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to what everybody's talking about. I mean, it's like every other post on Facebook has something to do with most of them urging the governor, please veto Senate Bill 1062. And Jeff and Bruce, really, not since the legislature passed tough immigration enforcement legislation in 2010 has a bill stirred as much controversy as Senate Bill 1062.
Well, Bill, one of the things that heartened me was we heard earlier today from Senator Pierce. He came right out and said, I screwed up voting for this thing. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I saw that.
In addition to that, Senator Driggs and Senator Worsley also said this was a mistake. So right there, that would have defeated it in the Senate. And one of the things that I noticed about this bill is that it sure seemed to get fast-tracked. I mean, identical versions went through both houses with a speed that I had never seen before. And when we saw the same bill, similar bill, emerge in Kansas, it was on a more, you know, slow track. And by the time it made it through the House, the business community had mobilized to shut it down in the Senate, both with Democrat and Republican votes.
It's an interesting point. It's like suddenly we heard that this bill had passed both the House and Senate, and it was on the governor's governor's desk.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen a piece of legislation in memory for me that went through both houses so fast like that. So I think that it shows us that, you know, we do need to kind of, you know, legislation is like chili. It needs to stew a little while before it really is good. And this probably would have been defeated had it been out there a little bit longer. But I'm feeling very good to say that today the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Senator McCain, Senator Flake, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, the Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Trio,
Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I mean, just the Arizona Lodging and Tourism Bureau, all of these came out against it. There is just a force of people across the ideological spectrum who say this is a mistake and it will harm the state. And the woman at the Arizona Lodging and Tourism Department said that they're already getting cancellations. They're getting calls.
Really?
They're getting people from large industries who were thinking of locating in the Southeast Valley, bringing 1,000 employers, suggesting they were going to reconsider.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, this has just been not well thought out ahead.
Bruce Ash.
Bad idea, bad timing, bad implementation. I was early against it, and a lot of Republicans before, you know, they reconsidered their votes were against it. I know Scott Smith, you know, pretty conservative guy, mayor of Mesa.
Yeah. And gubernatorial candidate.
Came out against it, and a whole swath of Republicans. You know, I guess it is about free enterprise. It's not really about business, you know, making more money or less. I mean, although, hey, we have a Super Bowl coming here, next year? And, you know, kind of lousy timing to do some knucklehead bill like this. But this is really about doing the right thing. And I think free markets and doing the right thing coincide with one another. I get how people are angry about what happened to First Amendment issues in Obamacare. You know, the Little Sisters of the Poor case comes to mind. I get how, you know, some people have scratched their heads when they see people be sued because they wouldn't, you know, supply a wedding cake, you know, to a same-sex marriage. I get all that. This was just the wrong way to approach it. Bad thinking, bad strategy, bad everything, and the governor's never going to sign it.
Yeah, I sure hope you're right. I really, really hope you're right. And it brings back memories. If you remember in 1990 when Governor Meekum rescinded the Martin Luther King holiday, and a little bit before that, but we immediately lost the 1990 Super Bowl to Pasadena. And, you know, you'd think we would begin to learn from these kinds of outrageous things like Senate Bill 1070. Now 90% of it has been found to be unconstitutional. One part's still out there, but probably will be struck down on an as-applied basis. But, you know, you've got to learn. You've got to, these kinds of legislation have consequences to our business community that we need to think through. And I don't know if you have any input as to how did this thing come through both houses so fast, Bruce?
I sure didn't see it happen.
I didn't see it happening.
And I was pretty surprised when the other side of the legislature voted on it so fast, because I was telling a few people, well, it's never going to pass on the other side of the House. And they said, it's already passed.
Yeah.
All right. People want to talk about this and understand. Let's go now to Dimitri. You're up first on the Buckmaster Show Live Line with Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Go ahead.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Bruce. Enjoy listening to you guys every week. Maybe I can get you guys to agree on one thing. I know you guys usually don't agree.
But, we agree on lots of stuff, actually.
You'd be surprised how often Bruce and I actually agree.
Go Cats and go Horses. How about that? That's good.
Yeah, we agree on that, too.
But Republican legislator Ethan Orr showed tremendous leadership on this one, the courage to stand up for what's right. It's right for business. Can we both agree on that?
Yeah, I think I certainly agree with it.
Yeah, you know, Ethan, although sometimes Republicans have criticized him, you know, for example, on the expansion of Medicaid, he is somebody who does listen to his constituents, who largely are not Republicans in that district, and he also votes his conscience. And I think he is a man of good conscience and high moral character.
Well, I applaud that vote, but I don't think one vote here and there makes him a moderate, as he's sort of falsely portrayed. I mean, he's still basically in the pocket of the NRA and votes with them all the time, opposes any kind of universal background registration, and just voted last week, the day before this, vote on a bill that would allow guns in virtually all public buildings, which would, one, be devastatingly dangerous, and second, on top of that, would be hugely expensive to have to install lockers and do the kinds of security necessary to handle that kind of a threat.
All right. Again, go ahead, Dimitri.
Sorry, make a comment. I think you guys both know how difficult it is for an individual, especially a young legislator, to stand up to leadership, and for him to take such an important, significant, and correct leadership role on this, I think should just be acknowledged by both parties, kind of in a nonpartisan way. But
right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. Quickly, Sheldon, before we take a break, and then we're going to switch topics. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Oh, well, you know, on religious grounds, you know, this is a very, very good bill. And if this bill loses down the road, since there had already been an effort, say, legislature to bring a bill dealing with the bathroom bill, the law that passed.
The bathroom bill is an entirely different thing from this, Sheldon. You're mixing apples and oranges.
But you know, from a strategic, and that's why we see these voter rights in the U.S. Constitution being diluted in several states, even though voters passed traditional marriage laws in their respective state constitution, Virginia and Utah. Now there are efforts to take those laws down.
Okay, thank you, Sheldon. From a religious point of view, he says it's a very good bill.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, this bill would enshrine religious bigotry for lots of reasons, not just against LGBT people, but, you know, this bill is written so broadly that if you had a genuinely held religious belief that Jews killed Christ and that Jews should not be served, you know, you could do that with this bill. Same thing for Muslims, Hindus, and others. You could even be anti-Catholic with the bill like this. I mean, this was just an abomination, and I think most everyone agrees with that there was no reason for this bill. It's a solution in search of a problem. We just don't seem to have these problems in Arizona. If and when we do, we'll address them.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. I think it's safe to say that the governor is probably leaning very much to vetoing it. Just, I mean, the pressure alone building up would seem that the governor would be vetoing this. We're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers with us. We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. Biosphere 2, open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery. Moe's has they do such a fantastic job with any kind of framing. I just cannot recommend these people high enough. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, also on Facebook. We have Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers with us on the Monday Political Face-Off. Folks, want to talk about the situation with SB 1062. And let's go to Miguel Ortega, host of Locally Owned, 11 to 12 every Saturday morning here on KVOI. How are you, Miguel?
I'm good, Bill. Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, Bill, what the point I wanted to make and see, I want to wonder how Bruce and Jeff feel about this. You know, the governor really, really needs to be held accountable here. She did not speak up before this thing became a national issue. And because of her inaction, we already have a negative economic impact to our state. I just don't understand how it's possible for her to remain silent and not state very clearly her position. Because if she's, you know, thinking about the vetoing here, what is she waiting for? Every single day that goes by where she does not speak up is like a negative ad for our state.
Yeah, it's a good
point. So to
point.
Me, that's absolutely reckless and irresponsible. I mean, our governor of all people should know.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit during the break, that she needs to veto this quickly because every day that goes by, there are more businesses that are maybe choosing not to come to Arizona. And Bruce was just saying, well, even though she's at the National Governors Association meeting, she certainly has a cell phone, a texting ability, and access to a fax machine. She should veto this thing today and not let it simmer for several more days.
Yeah, do you agree with Miguel, Bruce?
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think
silence here.
Yeah,
is,
I don't think very many people would disagree.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to switch gears here. We've got about 7 minutes left on the Monday Political Face-Off. Was it Chris Matthews on MSNBC, Bruce, saying that Republicans could pick up perhaps as many as 10 Senate
seats. Yeah, maybe
seats.
Chris Matthews is becoming the Democrats' answer to Dick Morris, who I think still is a Democrat, but that's not likely to happen. You certainly have some races where right now Republican challengers are in the lead. Cotton in Arkansas over Pryor. Caputo in an open seat in West Virginia. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell over Mark Begich by 12 in Alaska. Probably Cassidy as opposed to Manisi in Louisiana over Landrieu, who's facing a lot of problems there. In South Dakota, the Democrats really don't even have a pick at this time. I suspect Montana probably will go Republican as well. And there's a light blue state, Michigan, where lots of members of the U.S. House are Republicans, where Terry Lynn Land is only down by 4 to Gary Peters, who's a popular statewide guy as well. And I happen to be a friend of Terry Lynn. She is a very moderate, very thoughtful individual. She's actually held statewide office as Secretary of State there. She's got an excellent chance to win that seat. But I've gone down the rat hole in Michigan enough times to know that don't count on Michigan.
Jeff Rogers.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't count on Michigan.
No,
Republicans need about 6 seats to really be secure in taking back the Senate. I don't think they're going to get there. It's awfully early in the year to be using polling numbers and hoping that they're going to hold up for very much longer in this year. And there are also places where Democrats have an opportunity to pick up seats, and that one of them prominently is probably Georgia, where we have an outstanding candidate, and where the Republicans have some pretty dicey people that are running that are pretty scary. I mean, if I were a Republican, I'd be scared of having that nominee on the ballot. So I think we could pick up there. And Kentucky's a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, I think probably we don't have a solid chance at picking it up, but McConnell's just not that popular of a guy. It's a tough state for Democrats. But the other problem we have this year is we're defending almost twice as many seats as the Republicans have in play, and that situation will reverse itself 2 years from now. So we definitely have an uphill battle, and we've got a lot of work to do to make sure we hold on to that Senate.
If the Republicans were to get the 6 seats in the Senate, they'd have the Senate and the House, but would that change the Obamacare situation, Bruce Ash?
No. Not at all, because you need more members of the Senate in order to effectively make any changes. You know, I think that a lot of people criticize the Republican House, and a lot of people, even Republicans, accuse Republicans of doing a crappy job in general. But Jeff, I know, will disagree with me, but sometimes when you're in the minority, the best thing that you can do is slow down government and help prevent some things from happening. A lot of people are talking about the regrets that they have that immigration reform isn't going to occur, or that there isn't going to be some grand bargain on the budget. But both sides have to win. John Kyle said it pretty succinctly the other day. Most of the moderate Democrats are gone. Most of the moderate Republicans are gone. There's a lot of distance between the two parties right now on both sides.
Well, I would suggest that there's quite a few more moderate Democrats still around than there are moderate Republicans.
Like?
And so there are quite a few of them. I even consider Harry Reid to be a pretty moderate guy. But the fact is that, you know, we do need to work together to get some legislation done. The American people, you know, truly believe that immigration should be handled in a comprehensive fashion. And the polling shows that the huge majorities, even majorities of Republicans, support some kind of comprehensive solution here. And so it's time for the Republicans to get off their hands in the House and work with the Democrats to come up with a compromise legislation. I mean, you know, just because you slow things down doesn't mean you stop government, and that's what the Republicans have done. I mean, we saw it in this most extreme case when they shut down the government, but, you know, they've stopped legislating. I mean, they've shown themselves incapable of governance, and that's part of the problem and part of the rap on Republicans, and it's going to remain the rap on them.
Well, let's look at immigration for just a moment. The Senate has passed an immigration reform bill. And by the way, immigration reform, when you poll Americans, it's about number 14 on the list. And I'm not exaggerating. It might even be even lower than that on a lot of people's list of top tens. But more importantly, it's not that the Republicans haven't done anything. They've passed about five or six different pieces of legislation. They've tried to introduce those into the House, where the Senate leader won't bring any of those to the floor, won't allow any discussion. The rules of the Senate have been changed dramatically by Harry Reid and by the Democrats, and you can't have amendments and the kind of debate that you once enjoyed in the Senate, which was the place that bills went to slow down, as Jeff Rogers talked a few minutes ago.
Let me tell you something. If they brought that comprehensive bill to the floor of the House, it would pass. I mean, there are the votes there to pass it right now, but they won't bring it to the floor because the Republicans, you've got 40 or 50 extremist Republicans who are really holding the Republican Party hostage, which is in essence causing our nation to be held hostage on a host of issues, the minimum wage, unemployment insurance, lots of other things that this cadre of Tea Party Republicans is holding up.
All right.
Tea Party members are not extremists. They are people who are standing for the Constitution and standing for their constituents, Jeff.
I consider them extremists.
Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash, thank you both very much. Hope you have a great afternoon.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. They're also on Facebook. We didn't get a chance to talk about education on the Face-Off today with Bruce and Jeff. We will make up for that. David Safir is with us. David is in the house from the Tucson Weekly. We are going to talk education after we take the break on the Monday edition of The Buckmaster Show.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life, stay healthier, and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol. The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at insidetucsonbusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Well, 12:34 on this Monday afternoon here in Tucson on the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Moncada Construction, licensed, bonded, and insured. Chris Moncada and his team, they can take care of any interior painting that you have, drywall repair, carpentry, insurance restoration. Give them a call at 520-390-2247 or on the web at Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A, construction.com. And yes, they welcome credit cards. And we welcome once a month to the Buckmaster Show, David Safir, who is blogging. He is our blogger beat contributor, and he blogs now his new home for the past
pretty much a month or so.
Is The Range at the Tucson Weekly. And David, it's good to see you as usual.
Do.
We saved education stuff, items for you. We didn't really get a chance to get to it on the face-off because, understandably, people want to talk about why the governor hasn't spoken out.
It's a huge issue, and it looks like it's trending so much in the same direction. I'm very pleased about it. And so many Tucson businesses have stepped up and put things in their windows and things of that nature to say we support it. And this is just, it's wonderful. It's a terrible bill, but it's absolutely wonderful to see people rallying around this way and actually see Republicans saying, oops, I don't think I should have done that, and having second thoughts about it and actually wanting to go on the record with their second thoughts. That's very encouraging to me.
And, of course, we're talking about Senate Bill 1062. The governor has the bill. The governor is at the governor's convention. I'm not sure where that is. Bruce Ash mentioned, I think he said Washington, perhaps somewhere back east.
I think it's Washington, D.C. I'm not sure.
Miguel Ortega brought up a good point. The minute this passed the House and Senate, the governor probably could have put a lot of the speculation and the uncertainty that is out there by saying it's dead on arrival.
Well, I remember back, I know that Jeff Rogers, I was listening to the first half, talked about 1070 being very controversial. And I remember there, Brewer played her cards very close to the vest till the last minute, and she weighed one side and she weighed the other and finally decided she was going to sign it. But nobody knew till the last minute. And I think that that's what she was doing here. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about what she did with 1070. I think it was wrong, but I don't know her motives. But here, she just should have come out and been the forceful person she tends to be, whether I agree with her or disagree with her. She's very forceful and very assertive, and said, nope, this will not fly. If they want to vote for it, that's their choice, but I'm vetoing it. She has no problem going against the Republican majority. She's done it before. So I wish she had done that and shown more of what I think would have been leadership.
David Safir is with us from the Tucson Weekly, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to weigh in on anything that you hear David talk about, whether you agree with him or disagree, David is a very agreeable man when it comes to the comments that come in. He welcomes hearing from you. Let's talk a little bit about the State Senate Education Committee, the Education Committee, David, has moved to actually dismantle what is commonly called Common Core standards for our public schools.
It's very, very interesting, and it would have been interesting to see where Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers came in on that, too, because this is one of the rare times
I think where, they might have agreed again.
That's it. This is one of the rare times where the left and the right are tending to come together kind of against the middle, in a sense. Senator Al Melvin, who is not my favorite character in the world, as anyone who reads my stuff knows, has put together a bill which basically, and I can't remember if it dismantles or puts off the Common Core, but it really puts a stake in its heart, pretty much. And his reasons, I think, are typically loopy and wingnut of Senator Melvin. I think he tends to be that way. But the fact is that from another point of view, I agree that there are serious problems with the Common Core, not the ones that he states, but other problems. So there are people who are the strongest people on the progressive end of the education movement are saying, we've got to look at Common Core again and look at some of the problems with it because they're serious problems. And now Senator Melvin and Glenn Beck and Michelle Malkin, two of the megaphones for the far right, agree with us for completely different reasons.
And the governor, though, has actually been behind the Common Core.
Oh, very much so.
The governor I can't imagine that the governor would allow this dismantling of Common Core if it ever got to her desk.
Absolutely not. It won't happen, I can say almost certainly. John Hubenthal, who's the superintendent of, he likes to tell us for sure, public instruction, not public schools. I had to throw that in. John Hubenthal has been pushing it
for all
the people. Right. I'm going to have to put in a little parenthesis. An English teacher, the word public as an adjective does not mean the same thing as public as a noun. Okay, I'll stop that and go on elsewhere and leave that just sitting there. But Hubenthal has been pushing it around the state, and he's been going and talking to Republican groups who have been doing everything but throwing eggs and tomatoes at him about this Common Core, very, very strong against it. Now, the most influential person in education in the state of Arizona that nobody's ever heard of is Craig Barrett, who is the ex-CEO of Intel right. and heads the group that Brewer set up to study and make suggestions in education. He was one of the people, he's the head of one of the various organizations that created the Common Core. So it's got deep, deep roots in the center conservative and also the center Democratic parties, because Obama and his superintendent of education, Arne Duncan, both agree with it. And here there are people on the left side like myself and people on the right side like Melvin who are kind of firing at the people in the middle. It's very interesting.
David Safir is here from the Tucson Weekly. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. And we have Jim with us. Jim, you're with David Safir.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Hi, Jim.
David, how are you?
Hi, Jim.
Listen, you know, again, I agree with you, but for very, very different reasons. Common Core was a necessity for a nationwide standardization so that in this mobile society, any kid could go to any other school and still be within the same range as everybody else, and this not be so hugely variant from one side of the country to the other with regards to educational standards and what a kid knows. The problem is that all these wonderful visioners did a great job putting together what should happen, but then the curriculum got completely ripped up and ripped apart and screwed up. And that's the problem with Common Core, is not the concept, but the actual outcome of the curriculum. And that's why I completely and totally think that, you know, this thing's got to go away until the curriculum can be revamped back to non-political, controversial stuff, and down to what can a child do to perform with regards to reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Okay.
Well, this is another one of those cases where, though I think I disagree with some of your basic premises and where you're coming from, there's a lot of agreement here because there is a problem with the standards and the curriculum that comes with it, and the fact that, and this isn't talked about nearly enough, textbook companies and consultant companies are going to get rich at the time that we are cutting back on educational funds. Everybody needs new textbooks. Everybody needs new tests. Everybody needs new consultants to tell them how to conform to these tests around the standards. Now, one thing I will say, Jim, and I think that you might be incorrect on this, I don't want to say absolutely, and that is that the curriculum itself is not directly connected to the standards. In other words, curriculum is being created, but it's being created to conform to the standards, and I don't think that is being imposed universally in the same way the standards are. So it's very, very complicated. It's many, many moving parts. And the one moving part we haven't talked about, which is of most concern to me, is the standardized tests, which make the tests on No Child Left Behind seem like Tinker Toys by comparison.
All right. David Safir is here from the Tucson Weekly. Ray, I think we will take our break right here, and then Matthew will be up first when we come back on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. Be right back.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Viral Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you are looking for a great little getaway, I strongly recommend a trip over to Silver City. Named one of America's top arts communities. If you haven't been over there, check it out. It's a historic area, not only the arts, but then you've got all the wonderful hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, about a mile high elevation, great place to visit, and just really something completely different. Visit Cottage of Whispering Canyon or the many great places to stay. They're all listed at southwestnewmexico.org, the places to stay and things to do over in Silver City in Grant County. David Safir is with us on our Blogger Beat, our monthly segment with David. David is, of course, working now at Tucson Weekly, where he is blogging in the Range, their Range section. Let's go to Matthew now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew, you're with David Safir.
Yeah, my only comment about 1062 is it's distracting us, and because of this distraction, that I'm fearful that education bills that are destructive are going to somehow find their way to the governor's desk. The one I'm most concerned about, because it's something that's not being given a lot of attention, is SB 1100, which attacks unused or underutilized school facilities, basically saying that school boards across the state, irregardless of their own private property rights, as thank you, Senator Crandall, for bringing up, have to sell their properties if they meet that unused or underutilized criteria within a two-year period, which and basically is a giveaway to of taxpayers' money to private charter companies or charter schools or other entities that may want to be the first to purchase them. And it's just a bad bill. David, can you talk about it?
Yeah, I have spotlighted that, and it's one of a few bills, along with one that is going to make it harder for school districts to pass overrides and bond levies. Both of these, neither of them have passed, neither of them have gone to Brewer yet, but they're bills that are very dangerous, and part of what I think is really a concerted effort to dismantle public education. You can say charters is about choice. Some people can say vouchers are about choice. This is really about dismantling public education. When you literally want to take one of the buildings owned by the district and say, you have to sell it. If property values are depressed during that time, you get very little money for it, you have to sell it. If the charter school, and this is something very few people know, buys it and closes within 5 years, the person who ran that charter school owns that building. Can you imagine turning over public school buildings and property around them for a song? Because they may not be worth much at any given time. And then 5 years later, somebody can say, I'm closing the school. I own this building. It's a terrible, terrible idea for lots of reasons. It doesn't give districts any leeway. If there happens to be a growth in an area, as we know, there's the expansion in Arizona of our population has slowed. It could pick up again. If that happens, districts could find themselves without enough buildings and have to build something at a huge expense, where otherwise they'd simply have to take a building out of mothballs or something that they put into a secondary use, put it back for school. This is really, well, when I was on Robin Hiller's show a week ago Saturday, I talked to Representative Bruce Wheeler, and he said publicly in an article recently that he believes there are people among the Republicans in the legislature who genuinely want to dismantle public education. And I asked him, will you stand behind that? He says, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I
they
heard that.
Absolutely want to do that.
Yeah, I heard that. You were hosting for Robin a couple of Saturdays ago on the State of Education show, which is a real good show, and it's on at noon to 1 mm-hmm. on KVOI. And I heard you ask Representative Wheeler whether he wanted to go public with it, and he said, yeah.
Well, this is something I virtually from the beginning when I started blogging maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, I would have legislators tell me, you know, there are people in the legislature who really want to dismantle education. And I'd say, can you give me a name? Can you give me a quote? And they say, well, these people don't go on record, A, and B, you know, I really don't want to put myself in the position of saying that for any number of reasons. You know, you have to do things together with colleagues. But Bruce Wheeler is just adamant about that. And I really respect the fact that he's willing to stick up for this idea. He's been around for a while.
All right. And on the topic of school buildings, Ingrid has a question or comment for David Safir. Ingrid, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Hi.
Safir. Can you elaborate on some kind of talk that's going on about designating children, putting them into a certain category? I think it has to do with desegregation, and then moving them around from place to place, a certain group of children from place to place to get deseg implemented.
Well, Ingrid, I'd like you to stick around to see if I'm answering this correctly, because I'm not sure I understand the question. But I do know that within Tucson Unified School District, they're under a desegregation order from the federal courts called a unitary plan that says they must try to desegregate, that is, more do a better job of integrating schools so you don't have schools that are hugely majority Hispanic on one area and then disproportionately more Anglos than there are in the district, and they're trying to move them. They have to try to make that disparity less. They have to make it more integrated, less segregated. So one of the things that's come up is the fact that there are magnet programs. Magnet programs are a school which has a certain specialty, you know, like an arts magnet or a science magnet. And the purpose for that is to attract people from out of an area to come to a special program. Well, some of them, according to the court, haven't worked. So they're talking about having to dismantle some of those magnet programs. And it's a very difficult thing. Tomorrow there's going to be a day-long meeting that I'm going to be part of with lots of community members and teachers and things like that about strategic planning for the district. And this is going to be a big part of it. Ingrid,
yeah,
is that?
We had to move on. But The TUSD strategic planning meeting is an all-day session, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tomorrow. Everyone's invited.
Yes,
right?
You can. There's tables set up for the people who have been specifically invited, and the whole idea is to have small group discussions with a variety of actors from a variety of areas, business and education and students and teachers and parents. But anyone who wishes can listen in, if not directly participate.
David, what is your take on the H.T. Sanchez dust-up?
Well, the dust-up is where it is a possible conflict of interest with this group that he contracted with to bring in to help with the strategic planning. And my sense is that he screwed up in terms of thinking about what's going on. He should have known that with as much controversy as has been through TUSD, with people willing to jump on anything, that if he knew these people beforehand and he brought them in and there were any questions about the contracting, that it was going to cause problems. There is smoke. My sense is there isn't fire. Now, it's possible that there is, but I doubt it based on what I've seen with Sanchez. And I think in terms of analogies, let me give an analogy. If I were a carpenter and there was one electrician I work with when I'm building a house and I'm planning to be a contractor, I might say to that electrician, you do great work, man. When I am a contractor, I'm going to contract with you. And the other guy says, listen, I'm going to try to throw work your way too because you do great work and I know that. Well, it may be something similar to that, and that there's nothing about that that is
illegal.
Wrong.
Yeah,
unless he's taking a kickback, yeah. Unless it's a quid pro quo. So It's, I don't think it's a serious matter.
But the perception.
The perception is awful.
Yeah, I mean, with TUSD's history.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, but the meeting itself is about the idea of trying to create a five-year plan, and he's been talking about that since he came here, deciding what are the best things about TUSD, how can we make it better, what are the things that are weakest, what can we get rid of. There's something that he's talking about, I think, which is creative abandonment or something like that, where you say, okay, these things aren't working, we can get rid of them. In other words, let's slim down certain areas so we have funds in other areas. I think the concept is good. I wrote a post saying I'm a little bit concerned about the actual people who are going to be the consultants, not because of conflict of interest, but because of some of their earlier political ties. But listen, I hope for the best for the district. I think Sanchez is a fine guy. This doesn't lower my estimation of him. And if this thing works out the way he wants it to work out, I'm on his side all the way.
People can look for your blog at Tucson Weekly. And what's the best way to see your work, David?
If you go to the TucsonWeekly.com website and you look around, you'll find a link for The Range, and that'll give everybody's work. Anybody who's specifically interested in education, when you come to one of my posts, click on David Safir, and that'll bring up a list of every single post I've written. So that way you can see if there are any things related to education or other matters. I wrote something about the Fukushima nuclear power plant this weekend, too, because I'm very interested in the problems with nuclear energy. And you can find out what I've written specifically.
David Safir, thank you very much. Always a pleasure having you on the program, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks,
David. Thank you, Bill. You too.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are treated to a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water, and all the employees here at KVOI also enjoy the bottles of Culligan as well. Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, then the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. We will be back with you 12:04 tomorrow. On behalf of Ray Allen, in today for Rosemary Brandt, wish you a great afternoon and evening.